For who has despised the day of the small things? We shouldn't despise things. When we despise the small things, we're looking wrong. We're looking at those things. There are times when God does grand things, and He shares that. And there are times when He does what appear to be small things.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, today's message is one of hope. Hope for those who are weighed down with a discouraging job or a home life that's difficult or physical ailments that are just dragging on.
You know, Dave, this is truly a message of hope because, as we'll learn today, this is not all there is for those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. The good news is our future in Christ is going to be eternally better than our present, better than anything you have ever imagined. But between now and then, God has some work to do in us. And today we're going to look at how to endure when life gets hard and we become discouraged. Our text is Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
The sea and the dry land. I'm going to shake the nations, and they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Something really big is going to happen that you can't even imagine. Notice he begins that person with a four. He says earlier, don't be afraid, don't fear. For I'm doing something that is way bigger than what you ever thought is going on with this paltry house you are building right now in obedience to my word. So certainly comparison, I believe, is the main issue here. What does it look like in comparison? Isn't it nothing? But also, doubt, fear, lack of understanding can be contributing factors to being discouraged when you want to follow and obey the Lord. So then, what's the first step in overcoming discouragement? Let God reveal the cause. Let God's word bathe your heart so that you see things rightly, that you see them from His perspective, that you don't walk by sight, but you walk by faith. Now, do you want to be a discouraged servant of the Lord? Just don't open your Bible. You'll be discouraged. Start looking at everything around you. You will be discouraged. If you want to be encouraged, trust the Lord. He is with us when we are about His business, and we should not fear. So how can we endure? First of all, let God reveal the reason why we're discouraged. Hey, we're comparing, whatever it might be. Okay, Lord, I shouldn't be doing that. I should have my eyes on You. What should I do now? Notice we need to let Him encourage us. Verse 4. But now take courage, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Take courage also, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And all the people of the land, take courage, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. But now, there's a contrast there. In light of the discouragement, it seems like nothing in comparison. Nothing. Take courage. Take courage. And he says it three times. Take courage. The term courage here speaks of strength, becoming strong, being courageous, growing firm, resolute. It's the opposite of being cowardly and fearful. Take courage. You could almost translate it, be strong. Be strong. Now the context is faith. Be strong. You know, it's interesting. He commands three times and he says, declares the Lord, or says the Lord, but it's the exact same thing. You can translate it, declares the Lord, three times. And one says the Lord, but it's the same phrase. Take courage, declares the Lord. Take courage, declares the Lord. Take courage, declares the Lord. Be strong. Now certainly, this might bring up a memory for them. These are the ones who are following the Lord. These are the ones who have the law. These are the ones who know what happened when Moses led the Israelites out. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31. This is Moses encouraging the Israelites to be about God's business and not be fearful of those in the land. God's going to take care of it if they trust him. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Then Moses called Joshua. This is another Joshua. This is Joshua, the son of Nun, who led them into the promised land. And in the sight of all Israel, he said, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with the people into the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Then a little farther in verse 23, then he commissioned Joshua the son of Nun and said, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the sons of Israel into the land which I swore to them, and I will be with you. I'll be with you. Be strong and courageous because God is with you. And back in our passage, no matter what it looks like, be strong and courageous because God is with you. You remember what God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1? Turn to Joshua chapter 1. You know, God's servants, the ones who really are following him, need to be reminded that we need to be strong and courageous because God is with us. We need to not let God's word depart from our thoughts. Joshua 1 verse 6. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people the possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So you shall be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then Joshua commanded the people to do what God had said. The Lord is with you wherever you go. We are to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Ephesians chapter 6. There are all kinds of psalms which speak of the Lord. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 18. The Lord is my strength and shield. Psalm 26. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. Psalm 46, our God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our stronghold, Selah. Do not fear, for I am with you, Isaiah 41:10, I read it before. He says, I will strengthen you, surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Tremendous, wonderful encouragement for back in our passage in Haggai. But now, take courage. You're discouraged. You're about God's will. You're doing his will. You finally decide to do what he wants you to do with your kids. You're raising them the right way. It's hard. It's difficult. You're being discouraged. You're looking around. You do the right thing. You're finally doing your work heartily under the Lord at your job, and you're discouraged. Be strong and courageous. You're doing what's right in the church, and you don't see any results. Be strong and courageous. Do what God says and trust him, for he is with you. Be strong and courageous. He says, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. End of verse 4. Work. Guess what? We tend not to do what God wants us to do, and we're discouraged, aren't we? We tend to kind of go, oh, I give up. We tend not to be about his business when we get discouraged. He says, work. Work. Be about his business. Do what he says. Trust him. Be strong and courageous. Why? For I am with you. You want to raise your kids in a godly fashion, not hand them off to someone else. You want to do that? Be strong and courageous. God is with you. God is with you. You want to do what's right at work? You want to do the right thing? You want to be obedient? God is with you. God is with you. Work, for I'm with you. So it's the knowledge of his presence that motivates us to step out in faith to be about his work. Are you about his work? the building individually and corporately, allowing His Word to build you up, to saturate your mind in every sphere that He has us in this life. You see, we're going to get discouraged if we're His servants, if we put our eyes on what we see. We need to put our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So how can we be strong? Realize He is with us. 1 Chronicles 28, David says to Solomon, be strong and courageous in act. Do not be fear, be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Don't lift up your bootstraps and be strong yourself. Be strong because God is with you when you do what's right with your family. God is with you when you do what's right in the church. God is with you when you do what's right at work. God is with you when you do what's right with your kids. God is with you. Be strong and courageous. And then notice back in our passage, he says something very interesting, verse 5. As for the promise which I made when you came out of Egypt, my Spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. It's very interesting because we don't hear much of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. We certainly see the Spirit of God empowering those craftsmen to build the temple. We see the Spirit of God coming upon people like Samson, you know, and we see that happening, right? But we don't see the Spirit in the same way that we see Him in the New Testament, although it's the same Spirit. And notice what he says here. As for the promise which I made when you came out of Egypt, my Spirit is abiding in your midst. Now, although I like the NASB, which I just read, I kind of prefer the New King James here on this one. According to the word which I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. He's speaking about which I cut with you. It means to cut a covenant. He's speaking about the law and the covenant that he made with them. According to that which I made with you, which I cut with you, he says, my Spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. And again, there are very few references to the Spirit of God in the Old Testament. There are some in the New Testament point to the Old Testament. We know that, obviously, as I shared, the Spirit was involved in empowering and giving skills. But here, what is he talking about here? He says, my Spirit is abiding in your midst. Again, do not fear. Remember before he said, I am with you. Do not fear. He's saying, my Spirit is in your midst. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9. Very interesting. Nehemiah chapter 9. And remember, Ezra and Nehemiah, you know, you got the building of the temple and you got the building of the walls, right? These are both post-exilic prophets, right? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 19. Can't give you all the context for time's sake, but let's just read this portion here. Thou in thy great compassion didst not forsake them in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud did not leave them by day to guide them on their way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light for them the way in which they were to go. And thou didst give thy good Spirit to instruct them. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Here's an Old Testament. You gave your Spirit to instruct the Israelites. God gave His Word when He cut a covenant, and He gave them His Spirit to instruct them. God's Word by the Spirit is how He works in our hearts. And He says, back in our passage, according to the promise which I made with you when I came out of Egypt, according to the covenant I cut with you, my Spirit is abiding in your midst. I'm with you. And according to my Word, I'm going to be faithful to my Word. Do not fear. In the same way I was faithful to them when they came out of Egypt, I will be faithful to you. Do not fear. Do not fear. What do we see in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6? Zechariah, post-exilic, same thing. Building of the temple, right? Same thing. Zechariah 4, the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Same guy, by the way, saying, not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, declares the Lord. I'm with you, and I'm going to enable you to do what I have called you to do. My Spirit is abiding in your midst. Folks, we recognize that we can do nothing apart from Him, and when we do that, we trust in Him. We're not adequate. We realize that He has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness to the true knowledge of Him. One pastor writes, I've never walked into a pulpit without first looking to God and saying, Lord, I am unable. I am insufficient for this task. I call upon you today. I say to you that I am thanking God out of that weakness that He can make me strong. We can't do it. But God will do it through us if we trust Him. His Spirit is abiding in His midst. He is with us. When you want to do what God wants you to do, He will empower you to do it. Don't fear. He says, My Spirit is abiding in your midst. Verse 5, do not fear. And then notice, He explains, there's something much more glorious going on that you are not seeing. This work looks so insignificant. It looks like nothing in comparison, but what I am doing is way beyond what you could ever imagine. That's why we need to not look at what we see. We need to trust what God says. Look at, and He says, do not fear. Verse 6, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea, also in the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. Hey, the glory is going to be greater than even the former one, right? And He says here, and this place I shall give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. For why they are to not fear, why they are to be strong and courageous, why they are not to compare. For I'm doing something way beyond what you could ever imagine. That's what God's saying. And each element of these verses we see, there's some shaking here, right? There's shaking in verse 6. And there's the coming of the wealth of the nations, verse 7. Then verse 8, there's the filling of the house with greater glory. And then verse 9, there is peace. Now to understand the prophecy of this verse, we need to recognize that this certainly could have been fulfilled in stages, partially with Christ's first coming. Certainly we know that Herod, the wicked man under the sovereign hand of God, brought the wealth of the nations, rebuilt this temple, and beautified it. And then Jesus personally came and filled the temple with His glory and through His death brought peace. You bet. Certainly we see that could be one stage of fulfillment. But however, I think this prophecy is pointing even farther beyond that, to His second coming as judge, setting up His millennial kingdom, which is characterized by peace. And the reason why I can say this is because part of this is interpreted in Hebrews chapter 12. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 25. See to it that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. That's Jesus, okay? For if those did not escape when they refused Him who warned them from earth, that's speaking of God when He warned them from the first covenant, much less shall we escape who turn away from Him who warns from heaven. And His voice shook the earth then. That's the old covenant. When He came the first time, the covenant shook the earth. But now He has promised, saying, yet once more, this is from Haggai, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Okay? So He's not talking about this first time. He's talking about, as we're going to see, a second coming. Notice what He says. And this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as created things, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable sacrifice of service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He's talking about that final judgment which brings about His kingdom. He's talking about that. Yet once more, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. And here's what happens. So God is going to shake the nations in judgment. Let's go back to our passage. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and sea in the dry land, and I will shake all the nations. Then verse 7, I will shake the nations and they will come with the wealth of all nations and fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. Now we have in the New King James that will come with the wealth or the term desire of nations. That's where we have the wonderful portion from Hark the Herald Angels. Come desire of nations, come. But unfortunately, I like that song. I don't think that's exactly what this is saying. The term desire can speak here of desired things like wealth. And I think it's speaking of wealth here, the wealth of the nations. I think that's what it's speaking of because he says, the silver is mine. The gold is mine. It's all mine. So what am I saying here? He says he's going to shake the nations and they will come with the wealth of all nations. He's going to be sovereign over everything. He's going to lord over everything and it's going to be happening from the temple. You think your work is insignificant. It is not insignificant. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. All this said, in context, what they saw is a shabby temple in comparison to the first grand and glorious temple, which was ornamented with precious metals, gold and silver. In a little while, something glorious is going to happen. You haven't seen it yet. Zechariah says, "For who has despised the day of the small things?" We shouldn't despise things. When we despise the small things, we're looking wrong. We're looking at those things. There are times when God does grand things, and he shares that. And there are times when he does what appear to be small things. And he says here, basically, don't judge by what you see. Don't judge by what you see. Be strong, do not fear, be encouraged. It's God's work, and it has a glorious end way beyond what you are thinking. And in that place, he says, I shall give peace. When God is reigning on the throne, the Prince of Peace on the throne, Christ, who brings peace through his blood, will reign in the context of peace. He will give peace, declares the Lord. So with that in mind, on an intermediate level, the temple they would construct would be redone by Herod. The wealth of the nations would come. Christ would inhabit it. He would be glorified. He would bring peace through his death. But on a prophetic level, God would shake the kingdoms with judgment. He would make his house more glorious than you could ever know. And in that place, he would bring peace. You say, great, but what about us? What about us? We're not building this temple, and it's not the same thing. It seems to be speaking to them here. Well, I think the point is, individually and corporately, when we are about his work, we need to not become discouraged by what we see. We need to trust the Lord. We need to allow him to work through it. We need to not focus on what we see. We need to be obedient to the Lord. You know, think about it. You're cleaning those little noses every day, the little kids. They don't seem to be responding at times, whatever it might be. Keep trusting the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord. God is faithful. You're sharing God's word. They don't seem to respond. Keep sharing the word of God. You're at work. You're not being appreciated. You're trusting the Lord and obeying him. Keep doing what God says. Keep doing what he says. You're being obedient to your gifting, and it doesn't appear to be what other people might think should happen. Don't listen to that. Go to the word of God and be encouraged. Be encouraged, because he is with us when we want to obey him. He is with us when we reverence him. He is with us when we are about his work.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as you close today's message, you referenced an Old Testament verse from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, and it states, "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." And Greg, that is just an amazing portion of Scripture.
You know, Dave, this is a wonderful portion of Scripture, and if you read the context, it's actually a rebuke of King Asa, who should have trusted the Lord as he had done before, but he didn't. And if he would have, God would have strongly supported him. And the same applies to us. When we yield our hearts over to Christ, God is in strong support of us. He wants to support you. He is for you. He loves you. And what's the crucial element in receiving God's full support? A heart that is completely his. Brothers and sisters, when we are living in a right relationship with the Lord, being obedient to his commands, he is right there to strongly support us.
Don't allow the things of this world to drag you down, to pull you away from Christ. Confess those things. Stand fast then and be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And He will be there to support you and encourage you and help you even in the times of greatest discouragement.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.